Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Matthew chapter 21. This week we're actually wrapping up our series on prayer. But in reality, I think we're focusing really less on prayer itself and more on what happens when we don't pray, what happens when prayer isn't a priority. And so to do that, we're going to look at passages in the Bible, a passage, I should say, in the Bible, that many struggle with this passage at times, okay? It's the passage where Jesus gets angry. Now, many people struggle with how someone who is said to be so loving and compassionate could get so angry. What? Jesus did what? Right? We have these thoughts. But the thing we have to understand is that Jesus' anger here is a righteous anger. He did not sin in his anger. He had every reason to be mad. And he had every reason to do something about it. And so let's take a look at our scripture this morning so I think we can understand what I'm talking about here. I want to share a few things with you. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me here. We're just going to read two scriptures, verses 12 and 13 out of Matthew 21. This is what it says. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. These scriptures give us an interesting visual, don't they, of Jesus, right? Here he is walking into the temple, and what does he start doing? He starts flipping over tables, right? He starts driving people out. It's not the way we normally would picture Jesus. And I wonder what the disciples were thinking, right? Like, whoa, dude, what just happened to him, man? It's like the pastor that's finally had enough and he just flips out and goes crazy, right? Not that that's ever happened to me. But it was probably pretty odd for people to see, here this guy that walks around and with compassion and is healing people, now he begins to flip over the tables. So this response, I think, forces us to ask the question, what made Jesus so angry? Why did he respond in the way that he did? Now, the reality is Jesus saw that the temple had strayed from what it originally had intended to be. He says there, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. I want to give you some background information in regards to kind of what's happening here. What did Jesus walk into? Because obviously Jesus entered the temple to pray, right? That's why Jesus would go to the temple. He went to the temple to pray. That was one of the main reasons that you would go to the temple. But instead of seeing a house of prayer where people were praying and seeking the Lord, he saw a place that had been turned into a marketplace. Instead of seeing a place where people could connect with God, he saw a place that was exploiting people who were coming to pray and to sacrifice. You see, at this time, it was the time of the Passover, which meant people from all over the area were coming to make sacrifices to atone for their sins. So people were coming from all over to pray and to sacrifice and to atone for their sins. Now the thing is, to sacrifice, you had to have animals, right? Whether it was doves or lambs or whatever it was, you had to have these animals to sacrifice. And every person would have to have their animals inspected. Now, some traveled from far distance and didn't bring their animals, but some would bring animals, and they'd have to have them inspected to be sure that it passed the criteria of the priests for sacrifice. Now, here's the thing. The priests who were inspecting the animals, they would look for all the reasons of why these animals weren't good enough to be sacrificed. Oh, wait, I see a blemish here. this animal cannot be sacrificed, right? Now they did this, why? Because they would then have them, oh, this one's not good enough. But you know what? You can go right over here and we have some pre-approved animals that you can purchase, right? But here's the thing, you're going to pay the price. They jacked the prices up on these animals that were pre-approved. And so these people are being exploited, having to spend more money than they should have to spend. Then on top of that, they could only purchase these animals with temple currency, with specific currency. Now they lived, you know, and the Romans have taken over, and so they've got the Roman currency, and now they're like, well, you have to use the temple currency. So they have, you know, an exchange there that you can exchange your currency. But here's the thing, they jacked up the exchange rate. So you would have to pay twice as much to exchange your money. Again, they were exploiting these people to make a profit. So you can understand why Jesus was a little bit angry, because this is the temple, right? This is the church that's doing this to the people. These people were coming to pray and sacrifice, and the Pharisees and religious leaders were just using them and exploiting them to make money, to make a profit off them. Now, here's the other thing. That's one thing. But there was a whole other issue going on. The outer court, where all this was taking place, was the only place that was acceptable for the non-Jews or Gentiles to come and worship. It's the only place that they could go. They couldn't go in deeper. So this outer court, this place where the Gentiles and non-Jews would have to go, was cluttered with people selling, was cluttered with animals. And so because of all the chaos, they couldn't really seek God and pray. This place that was supposed to draw people closer to God, what was it doing? It was actually pushing people away. That's why Jesus was so upset. Jesus wanted that. He knew the temple was a place for them to come to seek Him, and they weren't being allowed to do this. It was a place that was meant to be a place of prayer. My house will be a place of prayer, right? But it became anything but that. Now, it causes us to ask the question, how could something that was meant to be holy and started that way become so unholy? How did they get from here to way down over here? Here's the thing. It's easy for us in a fallen world to get off course. It is. It's so easy for us to get off course. Have any of you ever used a compass? Back in school or in different things where you've got to follow these compass trails? Last year, I went to outdoor school with my son. And one of the things, you know, they had different activities that you did at these outdoor schools. One of those was compass, learning how to read a compass. And you had this course and different things that you had to do. And so we were given a starting point, and then we're giving kind of a bearing, and then we're giving a distance. And so, you know, you have a starting point, and your bearing is the compass, you know, whether it's at 270 degrees or, you know, 135 degrees. You're given this bearing, and then you're given a distance, so many paces to go, right? So you get your bearing, you're standing at this point, you're like, okay, oh, here we go, oh, right here, okay, right there, you know, and you begin to, one, two, walk out your paces. Now, if you did it right, if you had your bearing right, and you walked at your paces, when you got to your final pace, you should see they would have markers that you did it correctly, right? But here's the thing. What happens if your bearing's off just a couple degrees, right? Now, when you start, you're just off a little bit, right? But here's the thing. The farther you go, the further off course you get, right? And the farther you go, the further off course you get. If you're off on your bearing, you won't end up at the proper destination. The farther you go, the farther you get off the right path. The path that God has for us. This is what happened to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. It started with just little things, right? These other little rules they start to throw in and this other stuff. And at first it was maybe just a little bit, but over the years now, because we're talking hundreds of years, they have gotten completely off course. Completely off the focus of what the temple was supposed to be. Now, the sad thing is I think we've seen the same thing happen in the church of today. A place that's supposed to be full of love and grace is oftentimes full of judgment and condemnation, right? I know many people who have left the church because they've been judged and condemned. You know, a place, again, that should be drawing people closer to God at times has been known to push people away from Him. And when I'm saying, I'm talking about the church in general, not every church. But it's happened. And so we have to ask the question, if Jesus walked into churches today, like He walked into the temple back then, what would His response be? How would He respond? If He walked in here, how would Jesus respond? It's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Now here's the thing, we can't change other churches. That's not even our job. Each church is the responsibility of those there. But we can change our church. We can make sure that we're being the church that God has called us to be. We can be seeking the Lord and making sure that we're on the right path. I actually want to read a blog that I wrote a few weeks back in regard to being on the right path. This is what I wrote here. This morning I had the privilege of taking my margin time on the beach. It was low tide, and as I walked along the edge of the ocean, I saw all sorts of broken shells and broken sand dollars. It didn't look like there was much hope of finding one intact. But then, not far from where I first started walking, I stumbled upon what appeared to be a sand dollar nestled in the sand. All I could see was the very top of it. I thought for sure the sand was covering up its brokenness. But as I reached and pulled it out, I discovered it was indeed a whole sand dollar. I actually have it with me this morning. I found this sand dollar in the beach, all right? For the next 40 minutes, I must have covered over 2 miles of beach looking for another one. But I only saw pieces of ones. I couldn't help but think how fortunate I was to find just this one. Again, man, I was walking all over this beach. And it became like a game to me. I'm like, okay, I've got to find another one. There's got to be. And I'm like combing this beach. And literally 40 minutes, probably about 2 miles. And I didn't find it. I couldn't help but think how fortunate I was to find the one. If I had been a few feet to the left or to the right, I probably would have missed this little treasure. I just happened to see it because I walked right upon it, okay? As I pondered these thoughts, I realized how important our path in life is. Just a few feet off a specific path could keep us from experiencing the treasures God has for us. How many of us have missed those precious things that God wants us to discover because we've gotten off the path? I guess the question we have to ask ourselves is, why have we gotten off the path? Oftentimes it's fear or doubts or challenges that cause us to go a different direction. Maybe the path God has for us is too hard or too painful, so we look for an easier path. But in doing so, we miss out on His treasures. It's in these times that we have to trust in the Lord and His will for our lives. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." In those times that are difficult and challenging, we have to trust in the Lord because He is the one that keeps us on the right path. As we trust in Him and press on it's then that we will discover the wonderful treasures He has for us along the way. Now, the reason I share that blog with you is because the day after that, after I wrote that blog, I had another kind of amazing experience as I walked with God on the beach. Now, the reason I was at the beach that week was because I was getting away for a few days just to pray for our church, to pray for the direction of our church, to pray for this next year, that God would give me direction and give me vision for what His desire was. And so the day after I found the sand dollar, I was back down at the beach just walking and just praying with the Lord. And as I looked around again at the start, I saw nothing but broken sand dollars. But then as I'm walking once again, I look down and I see, I'm like, is it? And I uncover it and it's a complete sand dollar. So I found another one. I'm like, awesome. God is good, right? Now here's the funny thing. Once I found this sand dollar, I began to think about my blog from the day before and this whole idea of just that idea of being on the right path. So then I found myself just praying as I was there to focus on the church. I began to just pray and ask the Lord, Lord, as a church, 3 years into this, are we on the right path? Are we doing what You desire us to do, not what I want to do as the pastor, but what You would desire for us to be as a church. And so as I'm praying this, I look down, and there's another sand dollar. I'm like, yesterday I was like, you know, miles and minutes, and I could only find one, and I look down, and there's another sand dollar. And I'm like, Are you saying, Lord, are You speaking to me? I'm like, are You saying yes? We're on the right path? Cool, you know, because as a pastor, it's hard sometimes. You're sitting there and you're like, God, I just want to hear You. I want to be doing what You've called us to do. And I was like, okay, Lord, is it too much to ask that I see another one if we really are, if that's what You're trying to say to me? And so I look down and I see this, and I pull out a whole sand dollar. But it's like this little baby, and I'm like, oh, it's so cute. But then I'm like, okay, Lord, are You trying to tell me something? Like we're close, you know? We're almost there, you know? We're kind of, you know? All these thoughts were going through my head. Are we almost there, Lord? But as I continued to walk, I immediately found another one as I was praying, and so I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm sorry I even doubted You, you know, here. And He's like, duh, do you really need another one? You know, it's one of those things. I felt in the moment, Lord, just like, seriously? How many fleeces are You going to throw out here right now today, right? Do You not hear what I'm saying, that what I've called You to do? But it was the next one that impacted me. Because I'm walking and I'm just like, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I know what You're calling, and I know that, and I just want to keep doing what You've called us to do and keep moving on that right path. And I look down and I see, I'm like, no way. And I reach down and I begin to pull this one out of the sand. But as I begin to pull it out, I see that it's broken. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, now I'm confused. But the Lord said these things to me. He said, Darren, if broken people are coming to your church, then you're on the right path. Because I've called you to be a place that loves the broken, that cares for the broken. This is my favorite one. Because the reality is, this is all of us. We aspire to be this, but the reality is we're all broken. We're all broken individuals. All of us have times where we found ourselves off the right path. We found ourselves veering in a direction that wasn't God's desire for our lives. But the fact is, we serve a God who desires to restore those that are broken, to bring us back to Him, to put us back, to reach down. That's the thing I love about this God of the universe. He's not too big for us to reach down and to pull us back on to that right path. Now, I don't know how many of you in this room have been hurt by the church over the years. As I came to this community, the thing that I felt in this community was that we've had a lot of people hurt by the church. And I don't know how many of you have been hurt by the church over the years. But as a pastor, I want to apologize to you. Because that's not God's desire ever for the church. His desire is that as a church, it's a safe place for people to come, to experience His love and grace in the midst of our brokenness. A place where people are drawn to the Lord, not pushed away from Him. That's what was happening in the temple. That's what we've seen at times in our world, in the church. Oh, you're not perfect. Oh, you've got these issues. We'll come back when you have it together. That's not the God we serve. We serve a God that says, come as you are. Jesus' anger was a righteous anger because He longs for relationship with each of us. Anything that pushes us away from Him, that's what angers God. He longs for us to come as we are, and when we aren't allowed to do that, that's when He gets upset. I don't want to be the type of church that makes God angry. I don't know about you. I want to be the kind of church that is a house of prayer. It's a safe place for people to come that allows people to grow in their love and relationship with Him. And the thing we have to realize is this. We are the church. The church isn't a building. The church is the people. I can do my job, but we together have to be the church, a people that love and accept the broken. We make up the whole church. It's a partnership here. And it goes back to prayer. It really does. Being on the right path, being the church that God's called us to be as individuals, because we are the church. We are the temple. Jesus abides in us. We have to be people who are praying, people who are seeking the Lord and making sure that we ourselves are on the right path. This whole series on prayer, it's been about the reality that sometimes we take for granted prayer, but we can't survive and be who God's called us to be without it. If we really want to be on the right path, if we want to be the church that He's called us, the individuals, the people that He's called us to be, we have to be people that are regularly taking time to seek Him and say, Lord, am I on the right path? Will you show me? Will you show me, Lord, that I'm doing the things that you want me to do, that I'm living out the life and being the church that you've called me to be as an individual? That's what it's about. It's seeking Him, being ourselves a house of prayer, that it's constantly coming before the Lord and living the life that He's called us to live. I want to live and walk on the right path. I want to make sure that my bearing is set on Jesus Christ, and that I do nothing but walk towards Him. And if that's my bearing, and if I continue to walk towards Him, then I'm going to be on the right path, and I'm going to be a light in His world. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for Your hand upon our life. I thank You for Your love for us, Lord Jesus. The fact that, Lord, You got angry because the Pharisees and the religious leaders were pushing people farther away from You. And You desire to draw people close to You, Lord. You desire to have connection and relationship with each of us. And anything that gets in the way of that is what angers You, Lord. Lord, help us to see the God that You are, Lord. You flipped over those tables out of love. It goes back to what Joshua shared a few weeks ago. Everything You do is motivated by love, Lord, because You love us, You desire to have relationship and connection with us. In our brokenness, Lord, You still love us and reach out to draw us to You that You may mend the brokenness in us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be Your lights, Lord, people that accept those around us in the way that You accept us, Lord, that we are Your lights to this world, Lord. The church of the last generation, Lord, as a whole, did not do a good job of this. And I know many pastors and leaders that will say that themselves, that they did not do a good job of just loving people where they were at. That's what you modeled for us, Lord, in your word. You went and you hung out with the sinners. You went and you loved people and cared for people where they were at, Lord. We want to be the church that does that, Lord. We want to be the kind of church that when people walk in these doors, it doesn't matter their past, it doesn't matter the hurts or the pains, all they feel is your love and peace in their life, Lord, because you're drawing them to you, Lord. We thank you for this picture. We thank you for the fact that, Lord, you're teaching us. We have great people in this church. That's why this church is on the right path, Lord. It's not me, it's you at work in our lives. Lord, you have helped us to walk that out because we've got great people in this church that understand what it means just to love people, to meet people where they're at, to walk with people through their brokenness, to see you bring restoration to lives, Lord. That's what it's about. We thank you for these things, Lord. We thank you for your hand upon our lives. We seek to love you, to serve you in all that we do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you encouraged this morning? I'm encouraged. You may have looked at this in your own life and said, man, this sucks. I'm broken. But you know what? We're all broken. And Jesus knows that. And He draws us into Him. And He is what makes us whole. Nothing we can do on our own makes us whole. It's only through the love of Jesus Christ. And so be encouraged by that as you walk out these doors.